I have always loved the calm one gets from fishing alone, so when I decided to spend a weekend by Pine Lake, I was psyched. I packed all my gear and drove for hours, until finally setting up camp in a secluded spot by the water. The sun had set. I cast my line as it painted the sky with brilliant shades of orange and pink, ready for a perfect night of relaxation. Darkness closed around me, so familiar that it felt like breathing, crickets chirping and the rustle of leaves moving in the wind. I sat there lost in thought, waiting for a bite when I heard crunching through the brush. Footsteps. I turned, jerking my head towards the sound, and saw a man step out from behind the trees.
"Mind if I join you?"
he asked, his voice warm but with a certain awkward edge.
"Oh yeah?"
I said, trying to make myself sound nonchalant. I didn't think anyone else was out here.
"Most people avoid this lake,"
he said, sitting down about a few feet from me. He looked rugged, 50-ish or so, with a scruffy beard and a worn flannel shirt.
"Name's Dave."
"Ethan," I said, feeling a small shiver of discomfort rise up in me. We talked as we fished, but I couldn't shake the feeling that Dave was watching me, his eyes flicking back toward the tree line more often than not.
"What are you looking for?"
I finally asked, trying to sound lighthearted.
"Oh, just keeping an eye out. You'd be surprised what lurks in these woods,"
he said, his tone suddenly serious.
"What do you mean?"
I asked, my belly knotting up. Dave leans in.
"You know, things happen out here," he says. "People just disappear."
My heart thumps a little faster.
"Like who?"
"Joe McAllister," he says. "He went out one night to fish and never came home. Not a sign of him, just his gear."
He looks at me with a narrowed eye.
"You're out here alone, Ethan. You sure that's smart?"
"Look, I'm just trying to enjoy some time away from everything. I'm fine," I said, trying to sound convincing, but his words bit into me.
"Fine? Or just lucky so far?"
His smile didn't quite reach his eyes.
"The lake doesn't give peace. It takes."
That was it for me. I felt a chill run down my spine. "I think I'm gonna head back now." "Not yet," he kept insisting. "Listen to what I'm saying. The lake is alive. It knows you are here." I made an attempt to brush it off, but the air started to thicken with tension.
"Actually, I need to go."
"Suit yourself," he shrugged. "But remember, it is not the fish you should fear." Pushing the crawling feeling in my stomach aside, I repacked my belongings and continued leaving. Woods were darker, reaching out with shadow, as if unsettling me further with every step that took me away from Dave and his creepy, unsettling aura. I reached for my truck keys and ran for my truck. My heart was pounding. I glanced back once more, and there he was, standing across the lake once more, his unsettling smile plastered on his face. I tore out there, my pulse pounding in my ears. The winding road back to civilization seemed endless. I glanced in the rearview mirror periodically, half expecting to see him chasing after me, but the road behind was empty. Just as I managed to breathe again, I heard a clatter from the back seat. I looked around. Time stopped for me. My tackle box was there, open wide, but I had packed it on the shore of the lake. It was then that my cell phone rang. I picked it and found a text message from an unknown number. "You shouldn't have left." Cold sweat broke out on my forehead. I typed back, "Who is this?" Another message came through. "I warned you." Fear flooded me. I pulled over to the side of the road, gasping for air. I looked around me, half expecting Dave to be lurking in the shadows, but I saw only me, the woods, and the flickering headlights. Then the reality of things smacked me right between the eyes. The knife. The way Dave had talked about the lake, his warnings. The way he had been watching me. A dread began to rise up in my body. I hadn't even had time to think when in my rearview mirror I saw something. A man in the middle of the road, waving a hand with something shiny. It was Dave. I slammed on the brakes, my heart pounding. I backed up slowly, ready to make my escape. Just then, Dave took a step closer, and with his hand raised, yelled out,
"You forgot something!"
as he tossed something into the open window. It splat thudded into the passenger seat. I froze, realizing it was a bloodied fish knife.
"Now you know what I meant,"
he shouted aloud in the stillness of the air. Shaking my hands, I picked and looked at the dark red stains on it. It was a warning. No, it was a message. Harder than any blow, the realization struck me, and quite brutally, somehow I had stumbled into much darker territory than I ever imagined. Panic ran through my veins. I floored the gas and at the last minute swerved past Dave to get back on the road as my mind raced. I couldn't shake the feeling that there was something of menace observing me, far deadlier than I could appreciate. I was getting closer to town and saw a cop car pulled over on the side of the road. Not even thinking, I swerved over and rolled down my window.
Help! There's a guy back at Pine Lake. He's acting weirder, and I think he's dangerous.
The officer looked at me in shock.
Calm down. What did he do?
I gulped some air in preparation. I tried to get my voice together.
He was talking about people who vanish. I think he's involved in something bad. You should check out?
I called out. The cop nodded in concern.
Fine, let's put an end to this.
I felt myself relax as they sped off to the lake. I continued to pace up and down on the roadside, trying to calm myself down. They took what seemed like hours, but the officers shortly returned. They seemed somber.
We found him, Ethan, one of them said. We apprehended Dave, and it seems he's not acting alone. There are suggestions of a bigger event, a couple of missing people in the locality.
I felt my heart literally sink. It was a situation that was very deep. They were not just dealing with one creepy guy. Rather, they had discovered a massive human trafficking ring, which utilized the lake as a lure. They even take their cell numbers from the entries.
Thank you,
I said, feeling relief and fear mix in my voice.
I did not know.
As I waited for the officers to take my statement, my phone buzzed for the third time. I reached over and pulled it out. My stomach fell. The message was simple. I read it in silence.
You think you're safe? You have no idea what we're capable of.
A chill ran through me. The operation wasn't just about Dave. It had been a network far beyond my worst fears. They had eyes and ears everywhere. And still, they watched me.
A year after our dad's death, I stood on the pier with my brother Noah. We had spent many summers there, going on fishing trips with Dad. But last year, he went alone and never returned. His boat was intact, so was his gear, but he just vanished, never to be seen again.
Do you think it's still there?
Do you mean the fishing spot?
No, the rod. The one Dad lost that summer.
My heart sank. You really think it's still somewhere there?
Why not? Let's check.
Reluctantly, I followed him to the rocky shore, feeling a chill as I watched the waves lap at the stones. We crept forward for about an hour, the slick rocks beneath our feet slippery, but curiosity kept us going.
Look!
Noah bent down, gripping a tangle of seaweed.
There's something!
My heart raced as I squinted. Sticking out of the green mass was the unmistakable handle of a fishing rod. Together, we pulled, and with a final tug, the rod broke free, revealing its length and something shiny.
It's baited. Dad hated removing baits.
We pulled, but it was stuck. A fish was probably caught in it. Figuring it was Dad's last catch, we pulled harder, and suddenly the rod came up, along with something else. My stomach dropped. Attached to the rod was a bloated, lifeless body. I stumbled back, panic rising in my throat. Noah dropped the rod, eyes wide.
What the hell is that?
Before we could react, a familiar voice seeped through the salty air.
Liam. Noah. Help me.
I froze, disbelief flooding my senses.
No way. Is that Dad?
He's still there. We have to help him.
No, it can't be.
I shouted, fear bubbling up. But Noah didn't listen. He stepped closer.
He needs us, Liam. We can't leave him.
Listen, it sounds wrong. We need to get out of here.
But my words fell on deaf ears. The voice grew more insistent.
Help me. I'm trapped.
I felt the sand shift under my feet as the sea came alive.
Noah, this isn't safe.
But he was already stepping forward.
Noah, stop!
I lunged, fear gripping me as I saw the waves swirling around him as he went deeper into the water.
Dad needs me!
Suddenly, the voice twisted, becoming something darker, filled with a sinister edge that sent chills down my spine. The water bubbled as a dark shape began to arise, something ancient and horrifying.
Get away from the water!
I slapped him hard across the face, and he blinked, confusion replacing the trance.
What the? What's happening?
It's not Dad, it's something else. The voice roared. The waves suddenly grew taller, and I saw the creature's grotesque form just beneath the surface. The sand crumbled beneath us, and it became hard to pull ourselves back to the shore.
Come on!
I screamed.
What is that thing?
I didn't have time to answer. I pulled him back as the creature surged forth, revealing a mass of scales and teeth, an insatiable hunger in its red eyes.
Could it be Dad? It's lying! It's trying to take you!
In that moment, I knew what we were up against. A siren. A creature luring us with false voices. An enchanting yet lethal creature the sailors of our fishing town had warned for many years. Sirens were often depicted as beautiful women with irresistible voices. They lured sailors by mimicking their loved ones, only to reveal their sinister nature.
Noah!
I yelled again, pulling him toward the shore. But the tides pulled harder, and Noah was still entranced. With a roar, the creature surged forth, revealing his true monstrous form.
Noah, we need to go now!
What if it really is, Dad?
I reached for him. The waves surged, dragging us under. The creature's voice echoed in my mind, layered with sinister laughter, and that is when the seawater took over us. That is when I felt a cold grip on my ankle. My pulse quickened. This was the last straw. As I struggled, the water pulled me down, swirling around my legs like grasping hands. I fought back, but it felt like swimming through the sand. A knee-length seawater was suddenly many feet deep. I looked back and saw the creature, its form grotesque, an amalgamation of fish and human, its eyes glimmering with a predatory gleam. It let out a laugh that echoed in my mind, a cacophony of despair. My brother was already unconscious. The creature finally lunged towards us, its mouth wide with razor-like teeth. I pulled away, my heart racing, but the grip of the sea was relentless. It dragged me back toward the maw of the creature, the very thing I had tried to escape. That is when my feet found support of a hard rock underneath. The friction gave me hope, and I pulled myself and my brother out with everything that I could gather. We emerged on the shore, and I dragged him further in the sand just as that creature leapt out and tried to bite at his feet. But something told me that he couldn't stay on land. As I pulled my brother to safety, the creature looked at me with stillness. Then, it screamed and leapt back into the water. Perhaps that is what my father meant as well. I just hope he found peace. We drove for hours, the five of us, Ryan, Jessica, Mark, Lisa, and I. We'd seen a YouTube documentary about the infamous Suicide Lake by a quaint town. They said the lake was cursed. It drew people who were struggling into its arms. But we were there for the rare salmon rumored to thrive in its depths, which grew thrice in size of normal fishes and bled black blood.
Come on, it's just a lake!
Ryan laughed as we arrived.
What's the worst that could happen?
I stepped out, the crisp air biting at my skin, but my curiosity was piqued. The lake stretched before us, its crystal clear waters reflecting the emerging stars. We set up our gear on the wooden dock before hopping into a rowing boat that was standing there and headed in. As we cast our lines, I felt a strange thing move from under us, in the waters, but I didn't think much of it. Hours passed and we began to catch salmon, each one bigger than the last. Then, Mark, bursting with excitement, shouted,
"I got something big!"
He reeled in his line, but it was too much. The other boys joined him as well and pulled, but confusion replaced our excitement. The line felt heavier for any fish.
What the hell is that?
The boys hoisted the weight out of the water and we froze. It wasn't a fish. It was a hand. Pale, bloated, and eerily still.
Drop it! Get it back in the water!
Mark stumbled backward, the hand slipping from his grasp and splashing back into the lake. Panic rippled through us.
Let's get out of here. I don't feel good.
No, we need to know what's going on. There's gotta be more down there.
Before I could respond, the water around us began to bubble and churn, as if something stirred beneath. We scrambled into the boat. I picked up the oars, my hands shaking as I rowed frantically toward shore. Others jumped as well. As we reached the middle of the lake, I glanced back and my blood ran cold. A figure was swimming toward us at a high speed, its head barely above the water. Its long hair floated like tendrils, and its dark, endless eyes were fixed on us.
Faster!
I screamed. Mark and Ryan paddled harder, but the figure kept pace.
What the hell is that?
I noticed the figure's features. They were hauntingly familiar. It looked like Jessica, but twisted, its mouth stretching into a malicious grin. But then, everything went silent. Suddenly, Lisa screamed. I whipped around to see the figure had vanished, but the water churned violently beneath us. The boat rocked and I lost my balance, splashing into the frigid water. I gasped, the cold enveloping me, and my heart raced as something brushed against my leg. I kicked wildly, breaking the surface, and spotted the boat rocking dangerously. As I reached for the edge, hands erupted from the water, gripping my arms and dragging me down.
No!
As I was pulled under, darkness surrounded me. But just before everything faded to black, I heard voices calling out to me from the depths, like an echo. Join us. Suddenly, someone grabbed my arm and pulled me up. Ryan had jumped in. We kicked hard, struggling towards our boat, and just as we reached for the side, something surged beneath me. The water erupted in a frothy splash, and I felt a tug pulling me back down.
No!
I shouted, my fingers brushing against the edge of the boat as I was dragged under again. As I descended into darkness, a hand shot out from below, clutching my ankle. I looked down and gasped. It was Jessica's hand, but her face was twisted, eyes wide and unblinking. I cried, desperation clawing at my throat, but Jessica's hand wouldn't release me, her eyes locked onto mine, pleading, yet warning. Join us. The voices echoed again, the words reverberating through the water. I fought against Jessica's grip, but the shadowy figure Drew kept pulling me, its grin stretching impossibly wide, revealing rows of glistening teeth. Suddenly, just as I was about to slip under for the last time, the creature left me as five salmons fell from our boat. I swam furiously toward the surface. I gasped for air, the chilling waters lapping around me as I glanced back. I clung to the boat, my heart pounding. My friends pulled me up.
Throw the fish back! Throw it all back!
They followed my instructions. Scared, we looked at that creature, its face rising out of the water. But as we dumped the salmons back, it disappeared. We gave everything that we had and pulled the boat back to shore. I ran to our car, crying, and I did not wait to look back. I almost died that day, and I cannot step into water again since.